Our great God, we thank you that you speak to us, that you tell us about yourself, and you tell us about who we are. Please help us now to understand more clearly, soften our hearts that we might change, and that we might better be the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to imagine a scenario. It's after church, and there's three men having a conversation. They're not three particular men, just to want to alleviate the fears of all the men here. There's just three imaginary men having a conversation after church. And they're talking about how they're feeling about church. The first one is saying this. Says, you know, I like church, but sometimes I feel like we talk too much instead of actually getting out there and getting our hands dirty. Doing stuff. I mean, there's so many people in the world. There's so much suffering that's going on. There's people who are sick. There's people who are addicted. There's people who are poor. There's people who are dying. There's people who are neglected. I mean, if we really cared, we could be out there with these people, helping them in their suffering, instead of kind of just sitting here and listening to another sermon about Jesus. Wouldn't it be better if we were actually doing stuff? Well, the second guy is listening to this and then interrupts and he goes, well, hang on, I'm okay with that, but what I don't like at church is the constant expectation that I'm going to be involved in doing stuff, that I'm going to be putting my name down, signing on to help out, run the next activity, the next event, be involved in another ministry. I mean, like, I'm a busy guy and I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed, I'm feeling got a lot on. What I'd actually like is just to take a year off, to not be on any roster, to not be helping out on any of the events they'll be on, and maybe just spend a year so I can put some time into growing myself. Well, third guy jumps in. He says, well, speaking of growing, I've been feeling like I'm just not being fed by what happens at church. And actually, I've started listening to some sermons online. And I've just found this new preacher. He's awesome. And he's hitting me right where I'm at. He's saying things that I've been thinking, but I've never actually been able to put into words, never heard anyone else say so clearly. It's just, I walk away feeling so affirmed. And I've actually, afterwards, I've been on this like chat room and been discussing the sermon with some other people who have listened to it as well. And it's been really encouraging. I found like it's been really helpful for building me up. I'm actually seriously considering fully crossing over to this online church, doing stuff all online and not coming to church on Sundays anymore. This is the conversation. Maybe there's things there that you've actually thought yourself before. Maybe that's some things you've heard in a conversation you've been part of. People talking about church. Different ideas, isn't there? Different things that people throw up. Well, as tonight we look at Philippians, we'll look at the next bit. Paul's been writing, hasn't he, about what it means to live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. And he's told them to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Chapter 1, verse 27. He's talked about doing it in unity, doing it together, doing it with humility, the importance of that in relationships. He's talked about working out your salvation, working hard at making sure their lives match up to that. And about standing out, standing firm. And now, the next little section, it seems like he takes a little break, steps out and focuses on a few particular details of what he's going to do in sending some messengers and making some personal arrangements. And it can seem a little bit like it's just a little break in the flow. But actually, I hope you'll see tonight that while he is making some specific arrangements, that it's actually really helpful. The examples we see of the three men here in this section. as it helps us think about what it looks like when we live lives worthy of the gospel, and particularly in relationship to what happens at church. It's really helpful. And hopefully it also shed light on those three men having the conversation at the start. So we think about that together. And so we're going to look at the first man here in this section. It's Timothy. And we see Timothy here. We see Paul describe him. He describes him in some pretty good terms. It's a pretty good report card for Timothy, isn't it? Have a look with me. Verse 19. Paul says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I almost also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." This is Timothy. He's a standout. He does what no one else does. He loves. He's genuinely concerned about the Philippians. He's putting their interest ahead of his own, looking out for their good. Authentic, isn't he? He's the guy that you can trust to do the job he should be doing. He's the guy that they can trust to look after them when Paul sends him to them. And they can trust it, not just because Paul says it, but because Timothy's already proved himself, hasn't he? He's proved his ability to care for them in an authentic way. How has he done this? Is it by going out and hanging out with the homeless people and operating soup kitchens and feeding and donating thousands of dollars to charity? Is it by this kind of care that he's shown? Well, actually not. Have a look with me in verse 22. Paul says, "You know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he's served with me in the work of the gospel." Now, Timothy's proved his genuine concern because he's been involved in gospel ministry. He's worked alongside Paul in the proclaiming of Jesus as Lord. And the Philippians know that because Timothy was right back there in the beginning when Paul first came to them. You can read about it in Acts chapter 16. When Paul came and preached the gospel to the Philippians for the first time, Timothy was there as one of the band. Timothy served. And Timothy, he went with Paul to a whole lot of different places on his missionary journey and was faithful in that work. Now notice, Timothy's proved himself his genuine care, not in the way that he's kind of looked at social issues, people's different hurts and issues they're facing in day-to-day life, but because he's addressed their number one issue, hasn't he? The way he's seen that their greatest need is the gospel. See, Timothy has shown genuine care, genuine concern, by showing gospel concern. Genuine concern is gospel concern. Now, let me be clear. Social issues are real. The difficulties that people in the world and we face day to day are real. We don't want to kind of ignore them and pretend they don't exist. But we need to remember that the primary issue, the number one concern of every human being in this world, is the eternity that they're going to face after the short 70 or 80 years they might get here. Now, as a church, we need to care for people in their situation, don't we? Especially in the tough situations, when they're suffering. We want to walk together in life, side by side, encouraging each other through those times, pointing each other, helping each other, doing what we can to alleviate the hard times. And that's why even I, as a full-time pastor, have been involved in doing stuff like tutoring maths, helping people think about their household budget, helping people as they think about relationships and when things get tough and there's tension and working through those things. helping people deal with grief. They're all things that I deal with. And that's good and proper, and we should. And please don't hear me saying those things aren't important. We want to be caring for those things as a church. And if there's particular things that you're going through right now, please write it down on the card. Let me know so I can be praying for you, so I can be looking for other ways to help you out. But despite all those things, the number one concern that we have as a church is pointing you to Jesus. That's why in any of those activities that we might do, we help each other in the worst of times by still pointing each other to Jesus. We do what we can to help each other out. But ultimately, we've got to keep coming back and preaching the gospel. That's why every Sunday night we'll be here preaching the Word of God, helping you to understand it. And we won't give that up for a chance to put on a soup kitchen. The gospel is the most important thing for every person in this world. Now, Timothy and his genuine concern reminds us of that, doesn't he? Now, he's the first guy. The second man, this guy called Epaphroditus. We see him there, don't we, in verse 25. And Paul says, I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. And look at the way he describes him. He gets a pretty good rap as well. He says, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who's also your messenger, who you sent to take care of my needs. This is a guy that Paul can trust, who gets alongside him. He's glad to be with him. You know, he knows they're working on the same side. But Epaphras also longs for the Philippians. See, verse 26, he longs for all of you in distress because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. And so when he sends him back, Paul wants them, in verse 29, to welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him. Because look at his attitude. Look at what he does. Because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. The Epaphroditus, he's a guy that gets that living a life worthy of the gospel means serving. Serving even when it's costly. And it doesn't put him off. Doesn't kind of, oh, that's too much. I'm going to say no. He sacrifices so he's able to do it. He sacrifices his health, his time, so that he can serve Paul, so that he can go and care for him as a representative of the Philippians. And he gets sick and he's ill. He almost dies. But it's a great example, isn't it? Great example of being sacrificial when it comes to living life as Christians. Now, to be sacrificial means that we've got to say no, don't we? No to something when we want to say yes to something else. So Epaphroditus wants to say yes to serving Paul, to helping care for him when he's in prison. So he says no, no to himself. Even no to his health, it seems, so that he can keep striving, keep pushing on to be able to help out Paul. Now, it's pretty easy to say yes for things that we want to do, things for ourselves, isn't it? It's pretty easy to say yes, but it's pretty hard to say no. It's something we've got to work hard at. And let me tell you that as a leader here, we're going to keep asking you to be involved in stuff, especially stuff where we get to show our genuine concern and present the gospel, opportunities to put those things on as a church. We're going to keep asking you to be involved, to help out with ministries, to come and serve at events like Carol's. We're going to keep asking because we want you to keep being involved. to keep having opportunities to serve sacrificially. We want you to keep saying, to say yes. Let me say, there's wisdom in it. Sometimes saying yes to something we're offering you may mean saying no to something else that's really important that you shouldn't be saying no to, like some other area of service. We need to be wise. But we're going to keep asking because as Christians, we want your desire to always be able to say yes. We want you to want to serve, to want to be involved in different ways, to be keen to step up and help out, see Jesus proclaimed, people served. And you know what? You know what one of the ironies is of serving people in this way, serving sacrificially, putting off ourselves to build others up? An irony that the guy in the conversation at the start completely didn't understand. So when we do this, when we put off ourselves to serve others, invest ourselves in them, that's the number one, quickest way, the best way to get built up yourself. It's the most encouraging thing for us as individuals is when we serve. When we see our life following that example. It's not the reason you should do it, but it's a great byproduct that comes. So as we see Epaphroditus, we see him serving sacrificially. Now let's turn to the third man. Did you notice there was a third man here in this section? Timothy, Epaphroditus. There's also the guy who's writing the letter, Paul. And what do we see about Paul? Paul's in jail. He's imprisoned. He's had these two guys with him, Epaphroditus and Timothy, guys who've been a great encouragement, guys that he says there's no one else like Timothy. And what does he want to do? He's sending them away, isn't he? He's sending them back to the Philippians. So he says in verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Verse 25, I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. And not only that, he's not just sending these guys, but when he thinks about himself, that's his desire as well, is to get back and be with them. See in verses 23 and 24, I hope therefore to send Timothy as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Now, Paul himself, he wants to get there and be with the Philippians. It's not just that he wants to get out of prison and they're thinking, hanging out with you guys would be better than being in here. Because it's the relationships with them that he desires. Flick back to chapter 1, verse 8. He says this, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. That's not get out of jail concern. That's a concern for these people, his relationship with them. And Paul knows something. He knows that living out these relationships, whether it's him, whether it's Epaphroditus, or whether it's Timothy and the Philippian church, it's best done face to face. It's best done in person. So Paul's concerned that people in the church that are ministering together be together. He wants them to be together. Now, relationships need time in that presence, don't they? We need to be with people for our relationships to grow and to mature, to deepen. And if we don't, if we neglect to spend time together, relationships suffer. They're not as close as they were. They're not as encouraging. We don't get as many opportunities to build each other up. We miss out. Now, you tell me, Toby, we can do relationships because we've got things like phones, we've got the internet, we've got Facebook. We can do relationships without actually being together. And it's true, we have those tools. But let me be very clear, they're good tools, but they don't replace face-to-face. You can't do on the internet what you can do face-to-face. You miss out in the way you communicate. You miss out on some of the tone in the way you speak. You miss out on body language. You miss out on actually being able to touch in an appropriate way for the relationship. Whether that's just putting your arm around someone, whether that's like wrestling someone after church. You miss out on the opportunity to do that when you're on the internet. There's something special that happens when you share space together, when you are with each other, when you eat together, when you do things together that's beneficial for relationships. And we have those other things, phones and emails and internet. It's all good. And when Paul himself wrote a letter, it's good, but it can't replace face-to-face. Now, friends, we need to prioritize being together, being with people. We need to prioritize being here at church as we meet together each week. Staying at home and listening to a sermon online can never replace what we've got when we get together. We want to be pursuing that. We want to be being together, sharing meals together, doing activities together. And sometimes it's a bit scary. It's safer on the internet because you've got a little bit of a barrier between you and the other person. You can kind of play it safe. You don't have to be as real as you do face to face. It's easier to kind of put up a mask. But we're cheating ourselves in that point, and we're cheating the other people. We're missing out on the opportunities to encourage, to build up, that you only get when you're being with people. So friends, we want to prioritize being together with relationships. And let me tell you, when you're with people, make the most of it. Don't spend like be sitting with people and in a conversation, but actually kind of on your phone and in conversations with someone else. It's just a waste of time then, isn't it? You're missing out on the good that you've got when someone's right there. Friends, see from Paul's great example the importance of being together as Christians, as a church. As we think about these three men here, Epaphroditus, Timothy, Paul, they're great examples, aren't they? They're encouraging as we see them living lives worthy of the gospel. But we know they're good examples for us. We know they're faithful examples to follow because they each point us to the one whose life is the gospel, don't they? The one who genuinely had concern for other people, who wanted to do what was best for them, and who came and was ultimately not a doctor or a social worker or a political leader, but a savior. That's what he came for. The one who enacted his care for people, even though it cost him the highest price. And the one who didn't use distance as a shield, but took our very form. He became human and lived with us, became vulnerable in our midst. And the one who promised to be with us always by his Spirit, even to the very end of the age. The one who longs for all the lost sheep to be reunited, to be finally brought home to live with him face to face. See, as we see the example of Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul, we ultimately see the example of Jesus. And as we think about church, as we respond to those kind of questions that there's ideas that there's kind of seem there's good things in them and they seem like maybe they're on the right track. As we think through, we've got to keep coming back to him, don't we? Keep coming back to Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's the life that is the gospel. It's the model for those who would live a life worthy of the gospel. Now let me pray that we'd do that well. Our great God, we thank you for the example of Timothy in his genuine concern, genuine gospel concern for the Philippians. We thank you for the example of Epaphroditus and his sacrificial service. And we thank you for the example of Paul and the reminder of the importance of relating to people face to face. Father, please help us be more and more like them. And as we do so, help us to more and more reflect Jesus, the one who did those things perfectly for us. Now, Father, we pray this in his name. Amen.